Hi, this is Harry from Little Five.
This is Brian from The Man's Danny.
This is Nate from Shit to the Sun.
This is Jess from Shoot Loud.
You're listening to Dr. Bones.
Dr. Bones and my Dr. Bones and my Dr. Bones
and
my Dr. Bones.
And you're listening to New Music Saturday.
This is Martin from Dylan T. Rock.
JJ from Juxta.
Hey, this is Leslie.
And Jason.
Of The Sweetest Condition. New Music Saturday.
Music Saturday.
New Music Saturday.
New Music Saturday.
And you're listening to New Music Saturday.
New Music Saturday.
New Music Saturday.
Right on, and welcome to New Music Saturday with myself, Dr. Bones, and the guitarist, everybody wishes they were, Mike 1 in 5.
Hello.
How's that for a new intro, eh?
I like that, yeah.
I just thought of it earlier. I was like, no, that's a good one, so we're going to use that.
I love it.
So, man, tonight we have another kick-ass show. Like, a lot of kind of heavier stuff will kind of mellow it out in part two. And part two is when Western Jaguar will be joining us. So about 7 p.m. Eastern, 12 a.m. GMT. Give or take a few minutes because you know how time can go in the show sometimes. So we'll see how that runs. We're gonna try to keep on it phrasing, but anyways, we're gonna do what we can. So first up, we have a song by one of my personal favorites. I do have a lot of favorites, but this is Proud Honey, and this is called All the Things You've Done. Dig this.
We'll be right back.
Right on, Proud Honey. That's off their album Breaking Up the Silence, which is available on iTunes. I know we heard the song plenty, but this is a fantastic tune. It's one of my favorites. This is pretty much what got Proud Honey going. And you know what? I would love to see the song live, but the one thing I do have, and see if I can make it work, is I interviewed Proud Honey a few times. It's been a while, and I should have them back on the show soon, hopefully. Anyways, what I was going to get to is the first time they played the show, they played two songs live, and they played All the Things You've Done, which is awesome, and they played Weekend Millionaire in its early stages. But it was all acoustic, and it was really badass, man. They did it. It was a fantastic job. It took them out to get the sound quality right, but it came out crystal clear. It was awesome, and that was a big thing. It was like, that made my day. It was awesome. But yeah, it's a great band, and such a good tune. Like, I just love the guitar in this, and you know, it's good, like, kind of classic rock and roll. I know I can compare them to Led Zeppelin a few times for sure, but yeah, great tune.
It's an absolutely outstanding tune. I would love to hear that that acoustic set. You've got to dig that out. We'll do a Rave from the Grave slot or something.
Yeah.
but yeah, no, that'd be fantastic to hear. That sounds quality. But yeah, that's such a good tune. It's got that driving rhythm. It's just got that punch to it, and it just gets you going, and it sets the scene for the whole show. It reminds me of Rock and Roll Star by Oasis, that kind of
thing. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That kind of thing going on in there. And the vocals, I think, are fantastic, and I cannot for the life of me think who the vocal reminds me of, but it, all the way through I was thinking, oh, it's really familiar, but can't quite place it, annoyingly. I had about 3.5 minutes to crack it, and I failed. But whoever it is, it's a band I like, so nice one. But yeah, no, it's absolutely quality. It's a really, really cool team, man. Like I say, it's a fantastic way to set the show off. And then we played those guys a few times.
A few songs. Like I said, we played Weekend Millionaire and Tarantula. Yeah. And there's one more. I can't think of it at the moment. But yeah, we played all tunes off that EP, and it's a great one. So next up, speaking of cool bands, is the newest single. And it's been probably just over a month or so, maybe a little bit longer since we've gotten a new single from them. But this is a band called Dyslexic Postcards. And they're promoting their song being played on New Music Saturday. And they put up a cool poster as well, which Mike and I both retweeted and favorited. So you should probably see it up there. But they made a cool poster. So even though it's for their promotion, guys, that was a cool poster. Nicely done. So here we go with Dyslexic Postcards' newest song. This one's called Joe Frazier. Dig this. Right on, Dyslexic Postcards with Joe Frazier, smoking Joe Frazier. I was a cool tune. It was really, really hardcore, and you know, actually, the vocals actually remind me of Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols.
Yeah,
I mean, it was pretty badass. Like, I really enjoyed this tune. So, thank you to their manager Kitty for sending it along, and thank you guys. It was a great tune.
That's brilliant, too. For me, that had I was just like in my head. I was just thinking there are so many bands of this kind of, you know, the Melvins, Pixies, right. There's a little bit of the Vines in there, there's a bit of Nirvana in there. It's got that kind of vibe to it, hasn't it? It reminds me of Tourette's by Nirvana. That was
You know what, Mike? I'm glad you brought that up, actually. Just because the past like week and a bit or so, I actually did make some ringtones too, by the way, but that's besides the point. But I was listening to In Utero.
Nice, it's such a good album.
And one of my favorite songs on that album is Radio Friendly Unit Shifter.
Yes.
And like it's such a heavy kind of badass tune, and it's one song I covered a few times like years ago, like, you know, like when I was doing the whole kind of band on and off thing, kind of cover band like here and there, so nothing like really big, but one of my favorite tunes. And the thing is, to go back even further, because when you said early Nirvana, I was also listening to Incesticide.
Yeah.
Now with Incesticide, like two of my favorite songs, and they just happen to be back to back, is Errol Zeppelin and Big Long Now. And the last one after that is the final song of the album is Aneurysm. So it kind of goes from heavy to kind of tripped out, melodically depressed, and then kind of almost just like a fun tune to play. And Aneurysm, actually, we covered a few times as well. That was always a fun song to do.
Aneurysm is amazing. Yeah, that's always been... I can't say I've ever covered it live, but it's always one we jam in rehearsals, even in 1 in 5 now. But for years, actually, in different bands, I was in a band called Sacramento for 10 years, and we used to jam with that. We used to like do our sound check in rehearsals with that to make sure that everyone's all right. It's just a really cool tune.
And so easy to play too, right? I mean, there's like pretty much nothing to it. I mean, I know most Nirvana songs were like that, but this is a fairly simple one to play. But I was listening to that stuff, and those are good albums too, because I remember when it came out, because I remember I had the Sliver shirt before Sliver even came out as a B-side, even before it was on Incesticide.
Oh, nice.
And that was a t-shirt where it was all black, and then had the guy on front with his arms kind of turned outwards, so his palms were facing up, and he was all purple and blue and said Nirvana. And on the back it said Sliver. Man, I don't have it. I haven't had it one long time, but I probably went through at least three of them where, because I just wore it so much and just wore all holes in them. Like I had to replace a lot of t-shirts a few times, like my Ramon shirt, you know, with all the names on the front. And I had a Faith No More shirt. It was from the first album, The Real Thing. So that one kind of wore out a few times. But yeah, I've had a few shirts kind of just, you know, it's one of those things that just wore them so much because like, I really liked them. Like, you know, they end up with holes in them and kind of find them over again. But there's some shirts. There's one, I can't believe it's to the test of time. And this shirt has got to be, Christ, man, it's got to be 23 years old. I still have my original Che Guevara shirt, which surprisingly hasn't fallen apart yet. So good quality for $16.
Nice. That's what you want, man. Like, good quality t-shirts that last 25 years. That's what you want.
Yeah, you should probably toss it out. It's not like I'm trying to hold on to anything. It's still a good t-shirt, so it's comfortable. So I just finally don't want to get rid of it. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Yeah, absolutely. I was wearing a t-shirt the other day, and I noticed on the back of it, it said 2002. It's from some gig. I was like, Jesus, I really had this t-shirt that Maybe I should buy some more clothes. But then equally, I like that t-shirt, so it's all cool, man. But yeah, no, that's Incesticide and In Utero are both amazing albums. And, you know, just thinking about like that, those last three tracks, but then you've got Hairspray Queen before that as well.
Yeah.
Bass line, which is probably just the whole thing works really well, considering it's all sort of mashed together from, you know, unreleased and rare stuff. And whatever else, it works really, really well as an album on its own.
It's cool. She's Something Disco Goddess is I'll think of it, but yeah, that's the part I think the most. And then it gets
I was gonna say I can't remember the exact line, but I know exactly the bit you mean.
Because that's before it gets kind of super heavy and like really weird.
and it reminds me of like the older stuff. It reminds me of some of the stuff on Bleach, which is like a bit, it's quite heavy and dirty and goes a bit weird in places. Like Floyd the Barber is just a weird song. think about it.
That's a super heavy one.
Yeah, yeah, and if you think about kind of the way that drum beat and the guitar and everything works, you sort of think that could almost be like a metal tune, couldn't it?
But yeah.
There's something about the way it's recorded and the way his vocal sits over it that creates this kind of grunge. it's pretty smart, really, the whole thing.
I think that's a great one, and I think my favorite one on that album is Big Cheese.
Yeah, Big Cheese is amazing.
And ironically, it was never on the cassette. It made it to the CD, but it was never on the cassette, because I had the cassette first.
Oh, really?
And for some reason, I was like, cool, because it ended with Downer. It's like, okay, well, where's Big Cheese? I was like, come on, like, what the hell? Like, no, I checked both sides. I was like, it always showed up on the CD, so I didn't hear Big Cheese until I actually got the CD of it.
That's really random.
I know.
I had no idea. Do you know, my brother's got a CD of Back in Black by AC/DC, and I'm not sure where he bought it, but basically on the back of Back in Black, it's got the list of tracks, but they're not in the order.
Right.
They're just in a random order. But the CD he's got plays them in the order that they're on the back of it.
Oh, no way.
And it's like, it's not like a burnt disc. It's not, you know, you can tell if they're like, you know, they're blue on the back or whatever. It's not like a CDR that someone's just, you know, nicked. And he bought it in an actual shop, apparently. So he's and we can't work it out. We were looking it up. Can't find anything about this, you know, rare misprints or anything like that. I don't know where can't remember where he got it from, whether it was secondhand or whatever, but he I sort of said, did you just buy this at a boot sale or something? He's like, no, I'm sure I bought it in a shop, but I can't remember where or what or whatever. But it's weird, because I bought him for his birthday a couple of years ago. I bought him the vinyl of it, and he put it on. He was like, oh, it's a different track order. I was like, no, this is like one of the most classic albums in the world.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is the track order. And he was like, really? It just completely blew his mind, man. It's really random. that's a bit of a sidetrack. I don't know how I got on it, but it just reminded me. So there you go.
Right on. That is really weird. So... next up, we're going to get you a brand new one by a band called Dirty Falcon. This one's called Bad Head. Dig this.
All stretched out arms to reach me. I'm on the red cloud.
Come back and see.
Dirty Falcon with Bad Head, and Mikey made a reference to Bleach for Heaviness, and you're right. And my reference was going to be to like Alice in Chains and Layne Staley specific, just because about 3 or 4 days ago he would have been 50 years old, and unfortunately we all know that he OD'd and passed away too young. And but great band, I really enjoyed the song, like really heavy, like, and it had that cool, like in a dark kind of tone to it, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a fantastic tune. I'm really, really glad they sent us their tracks to play. I think I was saying last week that I first came across these guys when I was looking for bands to play a show, and unfortunately they couldn't make the date, but I liked them so much. I was like, send me everything you have when you have it, and we'll play a show anyway at some point. And we're still organising it for next year probably at some point. But I just think they're awesome, and it was just really funny how we were talking about Bleach and that whole kind of grunge sound, and then I kind of forgot almost that this was coming next, and particularly the first half of that tune could have been on Bleach, you know what I mean? It's, it's got that kind of thing going on, and yeah, there's a Chains vibe in there, and there's filthy guitars, and then I love the way it breaks out and starts screaming at the end. It's like, that's proper rock and roll, mate. I love it.
I got you with B, and this is a new one by the Nigel, I think it's Pure Chill Trio, and they're part of Erdington Sound, so that's what the Twitter handle is. So here we go with Human Destruction. Dig this.
It's us and the damage done. Overused medicines. Our time has come. The human destruction. Will decide. Should we sacrifice them all to save our selfish selves? Human destruction. Moral dysfunction.
Look at the pictures of corpses in the supplements. On networks, worldwide. Huh.
Okay. So that was a Nigel Putro Trio, part of the Erdington Sound. That was Human Destruction, and that's a cool one. And it's just, they actually, you know, vocally actually kind of sounded like Josh Homme from Queens of Stone Age. A really cool song. I really enjoyed this one. I've heard it a few times, but it's a decent song.
That's quality, Gene. I my exact tweet that I just put out, literally as the song ended, describes exactly how I feel. I feel that if David Bowie had done a collaboration with the Sisters of Mercy, they both would have been disappointed that it didn't sound as good as these guys. That's how it's got that whole thing about it, but almost like they could only be the ones that could put it off. Do you know what I mean? These I keep calling them Erdington Sound, but it's the Nigel Purcell Purcell, is it true?
I think you're right, I think it's Purcell.
Whatever it is, only these guys could pull it off. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of got something about it where it's completely unique, but also takes these influences from these great people and great bands. But yeah, I thought that was really, really cool. I love that kind of old school rock and roll kind of guitar riff that properly does something for me. It's got real innocence, but also real grit about it. You know, it's kind of the sort of stuff that the Bronsons do and bands like that. It's that proper garage rock and roll. You know, almost going back to, like, you can imagine Buddy Holly doing that on a clean track, just added loads of dirt to it, right? yeah, it's cool. I love stuff like that. I think it's a really, really cool tune.
Right on. So next up, and we're doing pretty good for time. Not going to jinx us, but next up we have another.
Quick, let's talk.
Yeah, right.
Let's delay.
We have, sorry, I know, we have another new one by Ill Advised, and this is off his new album, Masochist, and he'll be setting us out, the tape and the vinyl thing when it comes out, when it's ready, but that's going to be super cool. But we've interviewed Harry a few times, and the album is just something else, like very conceptual, like probably one of the best conceptual albums I've heard in years, but it's a great album, great song, so this is Ill Advised with Sleep.
Trying to fall asleep, looking for something that smells of who you used to be. In the arms of sleep, she eludes me this ache. What will never be, false longing for revelry. I keep wishing you were here. Drowns me in my sleep. kissing each other's skin, tasting each other's soul, staring at the sight, fireworks light up the night. She sees it in her head, waits for him but he's not there. Instead, I keep wishing you were here, all these years without you.
Ill-Advised with Sleep. What a great tune. And you know what? I love his vocals. And I think this was one of the ones he put up online live from one of his shows in New York. But it's a great tune to me. Like I said, the whole album is amazing. This is such a great conceptual album. And he's done... he's done wonders with the album. I mean, it's super impressive, man. If you, from Parkway Divide to this one, drastic change. But man, did he ever nail it. Great tune. Love it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. He's absolutely smashed it. It's such a good album. And, you know, we talk a lot about how good the album is, and that is frankly because it really is that good. Do you know what I mean? It's just there aren't enough good things to say about it. It takes you on this journey, and it's got bits of punk rock and bits of hard rock and heavy rock and an industrial thing and almost an electronic mentality or influence in some of it, and it just works. It's such a complete album. It really is, you know, one of the best things I've heard in a long, long time. And we get some fantastic tunes, bands, and there's loads of favourites. But you know, this is just one where you kind of feel like, God, this guy has really, really nailed it. He's really put the time, the effort, the energy, and just nailed it. Every way that a person possibly can. So I think it's an excellent track, and it's an excellent album. I've signed up for Cyanide Club, which is like his sort of new fan club thing. It sounds really cool. It sounds like there's going to be some cool stuff there. Like you said, I think we're getting a tape in the post, so I'm going to go and buy a tape player again, because I might buy a Walkman. I used to have a Sonic the Hedgehog Walkman. It was awesome. So I might buy those again on eBay. But yeah, man, he's just a cool guy. He's got the right attitude and the right mentality and the right kind of, he pushes himself, and the results are excellent. The music speaks for itself, right? So yeah, proper good. Really, really enjoyed, obviously, that track, and we're enjoying playing the whole album. So keep it up, man. Love it.
Right on. So next up, we have a new one from the 21 Grams live album. This one's called In My Head. Dig this. 21 grams with In My Head, and that's off their live album, which they were nice enough to send to me in the mail with a t-shirt, this whole thing, like a great package. So the guys, thank you so much. But that's a great tune. Like, I really like this band, and yeah, In My Head's another great one. Actually, that was the one I was going to play initially, and then Podzra asked me if I wanted to ask me to play something else, and blanking on the name right now, but either way, it's like, this is one I've been wanting to play for a few weeks, but it's a great tune. Like, I really like this band. You know, it's got the kind of 80s feel to, especially the vocals, and it just, like, it's just rock and roll, man. I love this tune.
Yeah, it really is wicked. It reminds me a lot, actually, that tune in particular, but a lot of the tracks remind me. It's got real Iron Maiden vibe,
right?
He's got there's something Bruce Dickinson-y about his voice, but not necessarily. Bruce Dickinson-y.
Amazing. Sorry. We're going to get to our first song by Western Jaguar. This is a song called Grand Parade. Dig this.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguar with Grand Parade. Now, Jeff, the beginning of the song, I don't think I mentioned it the last time I played it, but it reminds me, the first little bit reminds me a little bit of Foster the People. And okay. it was a really cool one. I love the melody to it, like really tripped out, but kind of had somewhat of a poppy feel to it, but still kind of like a mixed alternative. I mean, it's a, I'm not going to pigeonhole you here at all, but it was a great tune. Like, I really enjoyed the flow of it, and it just, like, yeah, like I said, it's nice to hear your progression from one album to the next.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that riff was all our guitarist Kier. I brought that progression to him, and he wrote that little lick for that opening part, and that just kind of like really cemented everything together. Yeah, he definitely Foster the People for sure.
Nice, Mike.
Yeah, man, I think it's really cool. I also hear in that guitar a little bit of like bands like The Cure and things like that. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, it's, yeah.
That kind of thing going on, which is awesome, let's be honest. Everyone loves The Cure, surely.
Oh, yeah. Disintegration, man. Disintegration.
You were, sorry?
I said Disintegration, best album.
Oh, yes. We always have to have this debate about The Cure. It's definitely Blood Flowers. that conversation will go on forever. One day I'm going to come over to Canada and we're going to drink till one of us falls over or until we agree on which Cure album is the best. yeah, man, no, I love that track. It's a really cool... It's what I kind of call like a guiding track on an EP, where it's a good kind of litmus test. If you play that, you get a sense of what it's all about. It's got a bit of everything in there, which I Like, do you think is a fair description?
I think that's super fair, yeah. Because that's why we picked it kind of as a single, because it kind of fit everything that we did within the album, yeah. You pegged it perfect.
I didn't even know that was the single, so how about that?
Look at that. Awesome. I was just making you look smarter and smarter.
You're making me, you can come back every week.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're making me look great. So you mentioned that this is more collaborative, so you're writing it with the other musicians. So how does it, I'm always fascinated, I know it's like a bit of a, it's almost a cliche question to ask a band, but I'm always interested in how people write songs, because, you know, I'm in a band and we write songs one way, but quite often I speak to people who do it in a completely different way. But what's your, do you have a process or a way of doing that? And especially in this, where it's collaboration or?
Yeah, the process is almost still the same with the collaborativeness. It's just kind of adding an extra step. So what I've always done is just, I kind of write the songs myself, either on acoustic guitar, piano, electric guitar, and record them completely on my own. So I add my own bass, my own drum, my own guitar parts, my own keyboard, synths, all that. So I kind of fully build them up. Nice. And then from that point, I kind of bring them to the band. And they're like, okay, let's, and they kind of almost like deconstruct. And it's like, okay, I actually think if I play a riff here, that this will sound better, and then we kind of move it around. So it's like I build something up, and then we kind of rejig it together. So it's almost like you're writing the song twice, which I think really works well with what we're doing, because the song becomes a lot stronger after it's been completely written.
To you, would be, is the organization of the album, did you have a set thing in mind, meaning did it follow a certain pattern as far as like maybe a storyline, that sort of thing, or was it just kind of put together because that's the way it flowed well and sounded good?
Yeah, that's a good question. Usually I try to do it in terms of just kind of flow of the album, like what feels good at certain spots. This one was a little bit different in that the track order like changed a lot. So I kind of had an initial track order in my mind at the beginning of the recording process. And I thought that was, usually that's kind of how things stay, but kind of throughout the recording process, we just kind of felt out kind of what would work best, and where we ended up is kind of what ended up working. The nice thing about it, I think, is for this album, we re-recorded three older songs in like a new style, a new way, from the old albums to kind of represent how we do it live, because they're so different. And those three are the last three on the EP, and all the new ones are the first three. So it kind of works as like, here's the new style setting up with these new songs. It's like, here's some reimagined versions of older stuff fitting in with this new style, which I think it's kind of an interesting way to juxtapose the two parts of the album.
Right on. Oh, that's a good way to describe it, because, you know, it's just one of those things that it's well, not necessarily a common question, but something I'm always curious about, just because a lot of times it happens like on accident. Well, they were organizing the album and you know, making sure it flowed properly, that sort of thing, and then it almost telling a story, and it wasn't intentional to tell a story, just kind of the way it panned out.
Yeah, I've always put a lot of thought into like how the songs are structured on the album, though, because I want, like, if I know, like, everyone talks about, oh, today it's all about, like, the single. No one cares about the album or the flow of everything. But that's always something I really enjoyed listening to albums growing up, that, like, when they have that flow, they have that, like, kind of rhythm to the album as a whole. So that's something I've always tried to keep with every Western Jaguar album.
Well, you know, and same here, too. It's mainly the millennials have, like a very short attention span. So I can see that. But, yeah, I'd like to listen to whole albums, and there was a couple times too, this is like way back in the day, so I'm gonna say like maybe 93 94, maybe. Anyways, point being is back then, no, you did have videos and at the radio, but obviously all this other stuff wasn't available to us, so a lot of times you kind of bought an album sort of blindly by hearing one single, and most time turned out well. I know there's a couple times where it always appears like I wasn't too happy about it, but no, I may do with it. Mm-hmm. But the one album, I still to this day, it was one of the best kind of like we'll call it blind pickups ever, and I'll never regret it to this day, is a band called The Tea Party. their first album, Splendor Soils.
Oh, yeah.
I picked up the album solely because I heard the song The River. I was like, no, this album probably going to be pretty good. And I picked it up. I was like, man, I was not disappointed in the least, but I've seen the Tea Party at least 4 times and never disappointed. It was awesome to see them. The first time I saw them, I know it's a quick sidetrack here, but what happened is they were playing Sun Going Down, which is, I believe, is track 6 on Splendor Soils. Anyways, it's a great like a kind of acoustic slash rock tune, like most of their songs are. And what had happened is the singer Jeff Martin, he had busted a string on his 12 string, so he kind of had to make do kind of by vocally kind of going over the bass and the drums while the guitar was being restrung and repaired. And man, that was probably one of the craziest rants I've ever heard in my life. And it was a cool fill-in, but I was kind of like looking at my buddies like, wait, what?
Hey, you gotta fill time.
Oh, absolutely. It was cool. It was just kind of dealing with the song and kind of not. So it was kind of like went from one tangent to another, but it was really cool. Anyways, so that's just my quick little sidetrack, Jeff. So we're going to get to another song off the new album. This one's called Lake Placid. Dig this, Western Jaguar. that's going to do it for NMS for this week. We had a great show, like a very powerful part one, great interview with Jeff Trainer, who is Western Jaguar, and a lot of other tunes. So it was a great show tonight. So guys, thank you so much for listening. And Mike and I will be back next Saturday at 5:30 p.m. But until then, guys, thank you so much for listening. We really, really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Until then, bones out.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.